This is Points North, a podcast about the land, water, and inhabitants of the Great Lakes. I'm Dan Wanshura.
Detective number 355.
A detective is in the middle of a criminal investigation.
At the next light, turn right.
He's in Michigan, driving to interview a hunting guide.
The destination is on your left. Arrived.
The detective gets out of the car and meets the guide.
Where do you want me to sit?
Do you want me to sit down? Or?
Yeah, we can both sit down. Sure. It's a beautiful place, yeah. Thank you. Recent build or do you remodel?
The detective works for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, and this investigation is about an animal that was illegally shot. It happened last winter. The guide is a seasoned coyote hunter. One day, he was visiting some property where he met a hunter with less experience.
He saw all the gear and stuff I had, and he's like, man, if I get some other spots, would you take me out? I said, sure.
The DNR hasn't released any of these guys' names, so we're following their lead and identifying them by their roles. There's the detective, of course, then the guide, that's who's being interviewed here, and then there's the hunter, the man who took the shot. So anyway, the hunter and the guide, they go out one night in January. They're at this rural spot in Michigan. They set up their gear at the edge of a farm field. They get into position, and then they turn on their game call. It's like a speaker that plays a recording of coyotes intended to lure them in.
And so, how long into the call sequence, I guess, was it that it came out?
Oh, we were probably 10-15 minutes into it.
Okay.
And he says this huge coyote comes into view. It's up on a hill, and then it slowly makes its way down towards them. The guide is nearby watching the animal and watching the hunter.
It took him a minute to actually see it, and it just kept coming, and I kind of whooped at it, and it stopped. And I said, okay, put it right on his chest.
The hunter shoots, and the animal drops. Then the hunter and the guide jump into action.
Gave him a fist pump and said, you go to the coyote, and I can see him out there messing with his flashlight and stuff, and he's taking a minute. He said, man, this thing's pretty heavy.
A really big coyote can weigh about 40 pounds. It's heavy, but you can drag it. But this animal is so heavy, the guy needs help. So the hunting guide walks over to help him.
I turned my light onto it, and I'm like, holy heck, what the heck is this? I said, that's the biggest coyote I've ever seen. This thing is ginormous.
It's ginormous because it isn't a coyote. It's a wolf, a federally endangered gray wolf. It's illegal to shoot them in almost any circumstance, and if you do, you could go to prison for up to a year and pay a $50,000 fine, which means these guys could be in serious trouble. So there's that. And then there's this mystery. You see, by the early 1900s, wolves were nearly wiped off the continental U.S. But after they were listed as federally endangered, they made this remarkable comeback. Their numbers grew, particularly in the northern Rocky Mountains and in the upper Great Lakes region, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. This wolf, though, was not shot in the UP. It was shot 300 miles south, Calhoun County, near the Indiana border, in the state's lower peninsula. Biologists say there's no wolf population there.
There is not suitable habitat in the southern lower peninsula to even remotely think there would ever be a population of wolves there.
That's Brian Roll, a wolf biologist for the Michigan DNR. He was interviewed by reporter Kelly House.
The big question on my mind is, like, is there any chance that a wolf actually walked from the UP or northern Wisconsin all the way to Calhoun County?
There's a chance, but I can't. That's about all I can say on that. I mean, I'm skeptical myself, but, you know, that's why we're investigating it.
So how did the wolf get there? And did these hunters have anything to do with it? Reporter Kelly House of Bridge, Michigan, picks up the story right after this.
Points North is brought to you in part by Cherry Republic, celebrating Northern Michigan's tart cherries with products like jams, barbecue sauces, chocolate-covered cherries, and more. Online at cherryrepublic.com. And Aspire North Realtors, bringing real estate professionals together, supporting their involvement in the community, and advocating for the industry in a sustainable way. Online at aspirenorthrealtors.com.
The Wolf was shot in January, but it took months for the criminal investigation to begin in earnest. To figure out what took so long, we have to go back to that moment after the wolf was shot.
So that's the biggest coyote I've ever seen. This thing is ginormous.
The hunter and the guide take the animal back to the guide's truck. They take some photos, FaceTime a buddy to show off the kill, and then they head to a few more spots to hunt.
We didn't kill anything else the rest of that entire night. I actually wanted to kill another coyote so I could show him, like, how big this thing really is as a comparison thing.
They call it quits in the early hours of the morning.
And then I drop him off home, probably.
I took him back home, yeah.
Did he take the wolf at that point?
Nope, I kept it. So one of the things we discussed when we were at the truck is, again, I said, this thing's humongous. I'm trying to explain to him how big it really is, and I don't think he's quite grasping it. I said, if you're not going to do anything with this, I'd like to get it mounted. He said, yeah, you can. I don't care. I was like, okay.
So when the guide gets home, he hangs the wolf carcass up in his barn, and he takes a video. He plays it for the detective.
Where'd he hit it at?
Right square in the chest. Right. Facing
a giant coyote. 84 pounds.
Would you send this video to me?
Yep, I'll include that when I send you the other stuff, yep.
It's not exactly clear when the guide realized it might not be a coyote. And it's not like he's unfamiliar with coyotes. He's been hunting them for about 10 years.
How many coyotes do you average in a year, do you think?
So there's two other guys that I do 90% of my hunting with. Probably between the three of us, we probably kill 100 a year.
100 a year. Still, he tells the detective he didn't suspect it was a wolf. He's never hunted wolves, but he's seen them in Canada. And he says this animal was not wolf-colored. Something must have changed his mind, though. Because later that morning, the guide calls a DNR conservation officer named Jason McCullough. And this next part is pieced together from multiple reports from the criminal investigation. The guide asks if the DNR wants to genetically test the animal. The Wildlife Division says, yeah, we want to test it. But it's not clear if that happens immediately. What does happen is the guide takes the wolf's body to a taxidermist.
Well, they were in awe when they saw it. I walked over there and she gave me a trash bag. She's like, well, put it in the trash bag because they got a lot of fleas and stuff. And I'm like, it's not going to fit in the trash bag. She's like, here's two. And I was like, it's not going to fit in trash bags. So when her husband came out, and he's, oh my gosh, this thing's huge.
News about this large animal doesn't get to Brian Roll right away. Again, he's the lead wolf biologist for the Michigan DNR. He hears about it when a colleague shows him a picture of the animal posted on Facebook.
Asked me to take a look at it and see what I thought, because he's not familiar with wolves either.
The post says it's a, quote, absolutely huge, 84-pound coyote.
When I looked at it, I said, no, that looks like a wolf. And I said, we're going to need to get some samples from it.
Roll tells his bosses, and the Wildlife Division contacts DNR law enforcement and asks them to go confiscate the wolf. But Jason McCullough refuses. Again, he's the conservation officer the guide contacted, and they know each other personally. Nothing happens for 2 days. Until finally, McCullough and another officer go to the taxidermist to get the wolf. But by the time they get there, key evidence has been destroyed or altered. The wolf has already been butchered. The hide is separated from the meat and bones, and it's being prepared for mounting. The DNR officers leave behind the hide, but take what's left of the butchered body. That was January. 2 months later,
three different genetic tests confirm what Brian Roll already knows. It's a wolf.
What made me go, what the heck, was how does an experienced coyote hunter and a taxidermist all see an 84-pound animal and not go, that's not a coyote?
That's a good question. I hope the law enforcement officers are asking that.
At the time, I asked them, but they said they couldn't comment because it's an ongoing investigation. So I called the taxidermist to see if I could get some answers from him.
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Oh, okay. Why not?
We've been told not to talk about it. There's too much. No, I cannot talk to you about it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can I ask just one question I'm really curious about? Is that...
He hung up, or maybe the call dropped. Either way, it was another dead end. There's a sharp divide in Michigan over whether wolf hunting should still be illegal. In the Upper Peninsula, where there are more than 700 wolves, many residents want the option of killing them.
If I got a wolf here that's hassling or in up close and going to hassle shortly, let me take it down and be done with it and not have an issue with it. That's what I want.
People like this farmer, Eric Wallace, being interviewed by MLive, say wolves are killing their livestock. Others say they're threatening their dogs or competing with hunters during deer season. Popular bumper sticker slogans are shoot, shovel, and shut up, and smoke a pack a day. On the flip side, residents are way more opposed to hunting wolves in lower Michigan. The irony is, wolves don't live there. So some frustrated youpers have a proposal.
Perhaps maybe we could trap all the wolves in the UP and share some of them with you all down here. Let's let them run free for the whole state. Then we can all enjoy the benefits.
That's State Senator Ed McBroom speaking to the legislature nearly a decade ago. Last year, his fellow Republican, State Representative Greg Markkanen, actually introduced legislation to relocate wolves downstate. But that bill hasn't really gone anywhere since. Still, someone could have decided to take it into their own hands. And that could be how this wolf got to the southern Michigan town of Marshall. I asked wolf biologist Brian Roll about it.
Is there any reason to believe this wolf wasn't actually shot in the Marshall area and instead was, like, shot in the UP and brought downstate? Is that...
That's a good question, and I hope law enforcement is investigating that.
They were investigating that. And they'd noticed something. A trap mark on the wolf's paw.
Someone told me that the paw was kind of messed up.
I didn't actually notice it. So Jason McCullough, when he picked it up from the taxidermist after my taxidermist skinned it and that, mm-hmm. I think the taxidermist actually pointed it out to him that the front, I think it's the front right, you can actually see
it.
Yeah,
if you get any photos of that too.
The guide pulls up some photos of the wolf to show the detective.
So yeah, front right foot. Mm-hmm. You kind of see that line right there?
Yep.
I didn't notice this at all, but they seem to think that the trap wound is what they're calling it. Was fairly fresh, and he said within the last 12 weeks was the actual what he said. So one theory was is somebody trapped it from there, brought it down here, and
right,
cut it loose or
not with
him, whatever.
Yeah. You a trapper at all?
I don't trap, no.
No. Have you traveled to the UP at all?
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time you were in the UP?
Did we go last summer at all?
No. Just right. Traveled there?
When was the last time you were up in the UP?
Several years ago. 2 summers ago.
And I went through there bear hunting, so that was about the last time I was there.
But you didn't stop.
No.
When did you go through for bear hunting?
It was 2 years ago in September.
So the last time you were in the UP was 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you weren't keeping a wolf in the garage for 2 years.
Definitely was not keeping a wolf in the garage for 2 years.
I asked DNR law enforcement if they were confirming this, checking phone records and credit card statements to see if there were any hits in the UP. They wouldn't comment. But as far as we can tell from investigative reports and interviews, the DNR kind of ran out of clues. Another alternative, besides trapping, of course, is that the lone wolf roams south on its own. It's happened before. Once a collared wolf from the UP ended up as far south as Missouri. They've also gone to Ontario and Minnesota, and they have traveled into the Lower Peninsula. Brian Rawl says when the Straits of Mackinac freeze over, wolves can cross the ice bridge from the Upper Peninsula. The problem is that's been highly unlikely in the past few years.
Now, the Straits area really hasn't been getting much of an ice bridge in the last few years, particularly this year.
Right.
Just because of the mild winter. And I do have those same questions of how did a wolf get across and then not get seen on a trail camera or hit by a car? It's possible. I want to be very clear that I'm not saying that it's not possible, but it does leave me wondering.
It leaves him wondering. After genetic tests confirm it's a wolf, the DNR conservation officer, McCullough, goes back to the taxidermist to get the rest of the carcass. Remember, he'd left the hide behind. But when McCullough and his colleagues get there, the wolf's hide has been transformed. It's been taxidermied, stuffed and mounted in a walking position with tufts of grass at its feet. The officers take it away and bring it to the local DNR office. Then, McCullough tells the guide he can't keep the trophy mount, but says he can come take a photo with it if he wants.
Oh my gosh, that goes beyond the pale.
That's Nancy Warren, one of the most vocal wolf advocates in Michigan. She says once it was clear the animal was an endangered wolf that was illegally shot, it should have been treated like criminal evidence, not a trophy. DNR law enforcement said they were looking into that photo op internally. In early June, the DNR finished its investigation and referred the case to the county prosecutor. By mid-June, Calhoun County Prosecutor David Gilbert made his decision. He announced he would not charge the hunter or guide for the wolf kill. And you'll have to excuse the audio quality of this interview.
But basically, it appeared that it was unintentional shooting. They didn't intend to kill a wolf.
The prosecutor said it was understandable, given that this wolf was hundreds of miles south of its known habitat.
It's like shooting a unicorn.
It's like shooting a unicorn, he says. It's not supposed to be there, right? The DNR says it wasn't able to figure out how the wolf got to southern Michigan. That mystery may never be solved.
That story was reported by Kelly House. She's the environment reporter for Bridge Michigan. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit news source for Michigan readers. Check out more of her work at bridgemi.com. Today's episode was written by Morgan Springer, production and editing by me, Dan Wanshura. Additional editing from Ellie Katz, Morgan Springer, and Kelly House. Music from Blue Dot Sessions. If you want more stories from all around the Great Lakes, search for Points North wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us at pointsnorthpodcast.org. One last thing, the PBS show Great Lakes Now has a new episode out. Hear the latest on Lake Erie's algal blooms, water quality in Flint, Michigan, and more. Visit greatlakesnow.org. All right, that's it for this week. Points North is a production of Interlochen Public Radio.
New from The Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.